And a high fly ball, center field. He hit it a ton. It's gone. And the 2010 Central Division Championship belongs to the Cincinnati Reds.
Football. Short drop. Lobs one down the sideline for Binns. He's got it! Touchdown! 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 Armand Binns!
See, this is the kind of thing, quite honestly, right now, that makes you want to see the Chicago Cubs team lose.
And it is Bob.
Oh, yeah!
And caught!
Yeah!
AJ Green makes the catch. Woo! On the ricochet. Hail Mary! As a prayer is answered in the end zone by Adriel Jeremiah Green.
And welcome to another episode of Riverfront Radio. I know everyone out there was worried about the Bengals getting hot and ruining our draft position after Andy Dalton came back in, but it looks like we might not have to worry about that now.
Is it because the Patriots just are filming all of our coaches on the sideline, call playing?
They're probably going to pass that around. The secret's out. They know what we're up to now. That's why we've only won one game so far this year.
Yeah. That's got to be it.
I mean, I can't think of any other reason.
I'm worried that they might figure out we're going to call draw on three plays in a row.
Jeff, don't. Not now.
Stop it.
You sound upset that Andy Dalton on fourth and goal from the five audibled into a QB draw.
Yeah.
He turned on the burners, too. Yeah.
Yeah, we've seen him score on that play plenty of times.
There's been a couple plays.
That's usually when he jumps up and fires the ball into the padding behind the end zone when he's
usually not 8 men in the box either.
There's been a couple plays this year where it's just been like, okay, they're tanking, and that was one of them. But it doesn't mean I have to be happy about it.
Did you guys hear? Yeah, I mean, that was one of those things that was bittersweet to lose to them. That was, I mean, at least now I think we're going to have a buffer if things hold up the way they are right now. The Giants are working the Eagles. So it's possible that we could have a buffer where we can still beat, where we can still beat the Browns in week 17 and be okay. If Miami wouldn't have gotten screwed on that pass interference overturn, just like the Bengals got screwed as well, then we would have had multiple games of buffer where we could still pretty much beat the Dolphins and the Browns again and be okay. But that Dolphins game is going to probably decide it. But, yeah, that I forget what I was going to say now.
That play that got overturned for defensive pass interference was such bullshit. Like they never overturned that call. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Jesse Bates had an interception that would have put us in the red zone.
Yep.
On that play.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean,
didn't see it.
Well, I mean, you didn't miss much if you didn't watch the game, but I did watch most of it, and that was BS. But it was also like I found myself rooting for the Bengals still. Against the Browns, even though I knew that they needed to lose the game in order to get Chase Young.
That's right.
Because I am 100% convinced I want Joe Burrow. Therefore, the Bengals will not pick Joe Burrow when they have the number one pick.
Have you tried to not want that?
Who should I want? Tua?
Ooh, you could want Tua.
Then the should I want not. Chase Young? Mr. Buckeye?
I want Chase Young.
Do you want him more than you want Joe Burrow?
I'd take both.
Not if you didn't watch the Georgia game.
Jeff?
Georgia's defense is amazing, and Joe Burrow made him look like dog crap.
Mute his mic.
I just don't like the fact that, and this isn't just the Chase Young versus Joe Burrow thing, but a defensive end or any defensive player, but it's always, you know, an edge rusher that gets, you know, top billing for a draft. It's like you can take him out of the game a hell of a lot easier than you can take a quarterback out of the game.
Correct.
So like having that weapon at quarterback already sets you ahead of, I mean, we saw Michigan did a pretty good job on Chase Young. I mean, I will see what Clemson does with him.
So do Wisconsin.
But the typical big media anti-Ohio State bias coming in right there. No, I agree. I mean, it's
like the ball is in Joe Burrow's hands every single play. Even with a bad offensive line, he's going to have at least 25 chances to throw the ball, you know, where he's not, you know, getting sacked or getting hit or whatever. With a defensive end, I mean, you can scheme against that so much easier than you can against a quarterback. And that's just it's more of a franchise changing pick to get the quarterback.
Yeah. That's a smart move going with Burrow. And again, kind of what Dan said, that's why I don't think they're going to do it.
Me either.
I mean, that's what they need to do. It's the best long-term solution. I mean, I think Chase Young immediately improves the defense massively, but that's still not going to be enough to really overall, you know, make a huge difference on the team. And again, you know, a quarterback may not either if we don't put the pieces around him, but you know, we got to have a little bit of confidence that they're going to build up that offensive line somehow, whether it be other draft picks or getting Jonah Williams back, and then maybe getting some later draft picks this year that can you know, shore things up a little bit. So I don't know, I deep down I'd like them to see them get Burrow, just because, like you said, Mac, it's what's best for the franchise overall. But I don't know, at this point I have no confidence in them to do the right thing. No. My guess is they're not gonna end up with either of them, so
I don't even, yeah, they're gonna end up getting another, isn't there another offensive lineman from like one of the SEC schools that's supposed to be, let's see here.
I talked about this with Abachi. Like, if they have the number one pick and don't end up with Burrow, my fandom is on the line.
Yeah, I might be done.
I don't think that I will have the energy to put into this team. I mean, we have, you know, we have a podcast and we pay attention pretty well and we pour a lot of time into this team, and I don't know why. It's frustrating.
I'm not biased in any way here, but what I'd really like to see them do is take Chase Young this year, then suck next year, and then maybe take Justin Fields.
Not biased at all.
Completely. No. Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence, if they do that.
Andrew Thomas. There's the Georgia, there's an Iowa, and there's a Georgia and Iowa offensive lineman. Both are supposed to be top 10 picks. And then there's that Jerry Jeudy, that wide receiver from Alabama.
That's who they'll take.
They'll take him because they don't need him.
That's who they'll take.
Yep. But that's another thing. I'm trying to think what I was watching. I don't know if I was watching what I was watching or looking at, but they were talking about who has watched Trevor Lawrence play this year. I think it was on the Dan Patrick show today.
Yeah.
It was on the Dan Patrick show today. They were talking about, like, last year, everybody, he was must-see TV because he was just lighting the world on fire. He was relatively unknown at the beginning. And now that everyone knows he's not coming out, he can't come into the draft this year. So it's almost like he's become this forgotten guy. No one's even paid attention to him. And I know he hasn't played well, but it's like he's completely forgotten.
Kind of feels like that's happening to Clemson in general this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been kind of third fiddle to Ohio State and LSU pretty much all season, and they're the reigning national champions. It's kind of like everyone just writing them off already. So,
So when it comes to that game with 2-3, OSU Clemson, how are you feeling?
To be honest with you, I haven't watched much Clemson, so Clemson's I don't really know what to expect. But I mean, I'm confident in the Buckeyes matching up against anybody just because of the talent that they have.
Sure.
You know, obviously they've showed in a couple games this year that if they come out sluggish, that they can fall behind. But you know, I think they've got the talent and the on both sides of the ball to overcome that and come back from that. But I don't know. We'll see. Right now, I'm confident, but we'll see how it gets closer to the game. I might start getting a little bit nervous. I don't think we're going to see what we saw last time those two teams matched up, but I don't know. It should be a good game.
How did Michigan get the game against Alabama?
Just conference tie-ins, man. I don't know.
I feel like Michigan's kind of terrible.
Yeah.
And that's like the third or fourth Big Ten team. What's that? They're in the Outback Bowl, right? Is that what it is? Are they in the... I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, we don't care.
I just was surprised when I heard it was Alabama, Michigan.
Yeah.
No, I feel like Alabama's going to gonna smoke Michigan.
I think it's a Citrus Bowl. Yeah, Citrus Bowl. And a lot of people think Wisconsin got the Rose Bowl nod over Penn State because they didn't feel like the Penn State still has that schmeg on them from the Jerry Sandusky stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like that's – and that sucks because nobody on that staff, none of those players, half those players weren't even alive or like even on at Penn State's radar before. But they, so for them to still be punished for that,
right?
It's crazy.
It sucks.
But yeah, it is what it is. It's just the name recognition more than anything. But
seriously, they should change their name. Start going by Pennsylvania State.
Pennsylvania State, kind of like how Memphis used to be Memphis State.
Yeah.
Just now they can just go by Penn. Those nerds aren't going to do anything.
Yeah.
Exactly. What are they going to do?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what I mean. Louisiana Lafayette just is Louisiana now.
Are they?
I think so. I mean, I don't think officially. I think they're still Louisiana, but they just go by Louisiana now.
Yep.
So they should just go by Pennsylvania.
Sounds good to me. Isn't Pennsylvania a Commonwealth as well, though?
Yeah.
So why? That's weird that they're even called Penn State. I guess
they could go by Pennsylvania Commonwealth.
There you go.
A little PCU.
PCU. They'll be the commies. But I don't know. And that was talking geography.
Jeff's favorite segment.
Yep.
Yeah. So what else is going on?
I went to Reds Fest over the weekend.
Nice. Hey, they're actually trying, too. The Reds are doing smart things.
Explain.
They signed Moustakas. Yeah. Brewers.
You were pretty excited about that. You sent us multiple texts. Yeah. It's also 31.
Weren't they attached to him before he went to Milwaukee, too, a little bit?
They've been attached to a lot.
When they were making a run. I feel like he, at some point, could have been a Red. They didn't get him.
Largest free agent signing in Reds history.
Contract-wise, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Griffey was a trade, technically.
Mm-hmm.
Griffey's still getting paid. I think 21's in the last year for that.
What's the largest free agent signing in franchise history in terms of weight?
Dimitri Young?
Let's look for that. We'll get back to you guys.
What's his name? Arthur Rhodes. Movon could be up. No,
what was that pitcher, Diaz, a few years ago?
Jumbo Diaz.
Jumbo,
yeah. What about, no, it was a trade. I don't know. Yeah.
I feel like Paul Coffey.
Did we ever have Prince Fielder?
No. Let's see. Did we trade or get? Let's see. Jumbo Diaz. It looks like we signed him. Yeah, it looks like he was on a minor league deal that they brought him in on. So he could be. He was. I don't know. He was big.
Let's get some measurements on him.
That's what I'm getting him. He is 6'4", 315.
Damn, that might be it.
I mean, that's 315 on paper. That's He's got to be 350.
Like Jeff's license.
Jesus. I've seen him linked to a couple other people too. I don't know how much of it's like serious, like talks, or if it's just people speculating, oh, this would be a good fit. But I was reading an article the one day saying that I don't even think it's one of the top two contenders, if it even happens, but one of the top two people that made sense to trade for Mookie Betts. They had the Reds in there. So I don't know if they do something like that or not, but
they were saying it's more likely to trades aren't going to happen at the winter meetings. That's what but all it takes is one and all the dominoes start falling.
Oh, but
they kind of priced themselves out of, Castellanos with the Moustakas deal.
Yeah.
They were saying that the market was almost set on those types of guys. They paid Mike Moustakas what they paid him. So now Castellanos' team is looking for more money. Yep. And so they screwed Miami out of it. I guess Miami was pretty close. And then when that happened, they were like, maybe we're going to start looking for something else. And, same thing with Didi. Didi Gregorius, it sounds like he's going to be too expensive for the Reds right now. considering they're already giving Galvis $5.5 million right now. So
maybe they get Rendon since Strasburg just got signed for a buttload of money.
Rendon's gonna Rendon's gonna be getting huge money.
Gonna get paid.
If they can't afford DD, they're not gonna get Rendon. It'd be nice, but
can dream.
But not only put Suarez in left field at that point. I don't know what you do. I don't know.
I've got some good news for you guys. In my MLB Road to the Show guy, in 2026, Jesse Winker won the NL MVP award
for
baseball in 2026.
What team was he playing for?
Oh, he was think he was with the Mets. Yeah, it was not with the Reds, but some reason MLB The Show thinks that Jesse Winker is going to be a stud in like 6 years.
People are really high on him. Like, there's a lot of people that think he is, you know, a legit, you know, everyday left fielder. We haven't seen it yet. We saw glimpses of it, but it's either been injury or not adjusting well to the pitching.
Mm-hmm.
But he's had glimpses of greatness, but it's not been sustained, and I think that's what scares me the most of everybody right now, other than Aquino possibly and just regressing big time. But people really like Jesse Winker. He's one of the names that a lot of people keep saying they don't want to see him traded as part of any of these deals for like Mookie Betts or anyone else that's out there available for a trade. But I mean, I don't know if it was one of the Reds people or someone on the radio. They were like, people want to win, but they don't want to spend money and they don't want to give up any of their own assets. Mm. And it's like, the fan,
Mike Brown calling in?
Speaking as the fan. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, you're going to have to give up a Winker. You're going to have to give up one of our top prospects. You're going to have to give up a major leaguer if you're really trying to get some of these big pieces that are out there for trade right now. Or you're going to have to part ways with somebody if you have a chance to upgrade at outfield. If you get Mookie Betts, you're going to have to get rid of Winker probably.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. I doubt they're going to get rid of, unless they're going to try so high on Aquino. That's the only other thing I could see happening.
Yeah. Right.
But I don't know if there's many GMs out there that are going to take, you know, 3 months of a season or whatever it was and be willing to part ways with a lot of either money or prospects for that. But I don't know. It's
so after seeing the money that Strasburg got, the Sonny Gray deal is a fucking steal.
Yeah, that's like what we were saying today.
That's what I'm saying right now. Because we signed him to an extension for, it was 3 years, $30 million. And that was, I mean, this is just like the Geno deal. You know, it just keeps looking better and better as the years go on. And if the Reds can keep making smart decisions with their money like this, I think that they can contend, even though they're a mid-market. You know, they're a mid-major. Shut up, Jeff.
Damn, dude.
Shut up.
Yeah, and then the Garrett Cole sweepstakes is going to get out of control
mm-hmm.
after the Strasburg deal. They're saying he's going to get over $300 million.
Fuck them.
They're the Giants or the Giants. I'm saying that because New York Giants are playing on Monday Night Football right now. The New York Yankees were the, I forget what their first offer was, but it was like in the low twos or something like that. And they're saying basically like his team probably laughed them out of the room when they offered that number, especially after seeing what Strasburg got, who is 2 years older, has an injury history.
Right.
And whoever takes on, it's funny to see, like, that is even a crippling contract for the Yankees if they end up, and they say they're not going to be outbid is what they originally said. The Angels need to prove that they're trying to win. They have the money. They've got a superstar in Mike Trout. They need to get some, you know, pieces to try to make a run while he's still in his prime. And you got Ohtani coming back this year. He'll be able to pitch as well as hit. So the Angels, I mean, they could, if they could structure the deal where they can get out from under it, in like 3 to 5 years, like a lot of those deals are kind of structured. They could be a threat to the Yankees, if nothing else, to drive up the price and then cripple the Yankees because Stanton is still due an insane amount of money. And then Judge, I don't know what his contract is right now, but I don't think he's been re-upped yet, at least not to the level that he will get. So it'll be funny to see, not that there's a salary cap, but it'll be funny to see the Yankees just hamstrung by some of these massive contracts that are either due to pay or already have on the books. You just hate to see something like that happen to such a franchise that has always done things as the underdog. And
yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah, so this is the last year on Judge's contract after his 1 year, $6.4 million deal they gave him as a bridge to his arbitration years. He's got two arbitration years and then he hits unrestricted free agency in 2023. So Judge is due a massive deal now too, because they're not going to want to go to arbitration with him. And if they do, they're going to have to do another one of those bridge gaps just to get him to that free agency. And with Stanton already on the books and Gerrit Cole possibly getting $35 million a year, it's going to be funny to watch them just have to navigate that. So who knows? They may end up having to sell some key pieces just to keep the lights on over there.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see here. Right now they've got Giancarlo Stanton's $26 million a year. Chapman's getting $17 million a year to pitch 50 times a year, one inning at a time type of deal. I mean, they've got some massive contracts on the books. It's funny. We'll see. More money, more problems, I guess.
Sure.
And that was our guest, Mike Francesa. Thank you for calling in for our New York Sports Minute.
Hey, he retired. He's probably looking again. He retired again. So right. He's probably looking for – he's out there hanging out with Jay Leno somewhere. Talking about all the young up-and-comers they screwed over. So, but, yeah, so I don't know. It's nice to see the Reds doing something. I was at Reds Fest as well. I rubbed elbows with Sir Daniel over there, and he rubbed elbows with a Hall of Famer. Well, his wife rubbed elbows, yeah.
Yeah, but she got a picture with Marty. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah. I had to settle for Jim Day, Chris Welsh, and who else did I get?
Brantley. Did you get Jeff Brantley?
No, I didn't stay
out there late enough.
I didn't stay for Brantley. Teddy. I got Teddy.
Yeah.
Nice.
I tried to see if he would pick me up like he did Todd Frazier. Or did Todd Frazier pick me up? I can't remember. Can't remember which way it went. But no, he's the man. He was just sitting there. He was there supporting for I forget what it's called, the Field of Dreams, but it's whatever the Joe Nuxhall Foundation is.
League of Miracles.
League of Miracles, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, he was there for that, which is an amazing facility. That's sweet for people with disability, kids with, and I guess adults too, sure, with physical or mental disabilities. It's like a flat surface baseball field with no, you know, elevation changes, no dirt, no grass, anything that can cause any sort of, you know, trip hazards or anything, but it's sweet.
Awesome.
So that's what Teddy was there for, and he gave me his card, which also had, he co-authored a book or something like that, so maybe put that on my reading list, because I don't read any books, and when I do, it's usually weird autobiographies of obscure people, like
Charles Barkley,
Jay Onwright, the Canadian sports guy that I love. Guy most notably known as the guy that coined the Bobrovsky phrase.
You're a loose cannon Bobrovsky.
You're a loose cannon Bobrovsky. But
yeah.
But yeah, so Reds Fest is incredible. Maybe 1 year we'll have a booth there. We'll broadcast live. We'll be right next to the Reds on the radio booth.
Yeah. Did you walk through and see the 1990 World Series championship trophy?
I didn't this year. I did it last year. I saw it.
It's so awesome.
Yeah.
It's such a good setup at the Duke Energy Convention Center. Although a lot of the proceeds go to the Reds Community Fund. It's such a good event. I love it. I think Ben and I were talking about this. Like, in the future, I plan on going every single year, unless there, you know, there's some weekend that I can't for, you know, scheduling purposes. But I love going every single time.
It's awesome. And then I need to work on my squats and my just deadlift and everything too, because, well, one, because I was sore as fuck after walking around there. I was miserable after walking around Reds Fest.
I got my 10K that day.
Yeah, it was brutal. It's so much walking. It's such a massive space. But Barry Larkin's old pool table from, I guess, it, I think the story is it's from his house, but when he moved, he didn't have a place for it, so he donated it to the Reds.
Mm-hmm.
And the felt on the Reds table is literally, it's Mr. Red, like the Mr. Red from that era that had, like, it's like the Jose Rijo looking, Jose, I always call it the Jose Rijo Red because it had a number 27. But it's the one that actually had the vest and pinstripes from that era,
yeah,
when they wore the vest and pinstripes. It's that with, it just says Larkin 11, and it's like on each end. It's pretty sweet. They have it. You can sit there and play pool if you want.
You think we could get it out of there?
So is that
that's
why
what I'm saying. I need to work on my deadlifts and my
lifts with your back
squats. Yeah, yeah, I'm really cranking it. Like, but yeah, it's sweet. And it's like, that's a legit pool table in that. But there's so much cool stuff. Even like if you're a memorabilia collector, like there's so much cool stuff down there.
Yeah.
Like one year.
Oh, so I told Ben this. I got the Schebler jersey was my grab bag. So each year in like the game use section, they have just grab bags of, you know, brown plastic, brown paper bags that have a random jersey that's game used in it. And this year I bought one and it had Scott Schebler in it. It was the Los Rojos jerseys. And, I looked it up cause each one is tagged like when, with an authentic serial number, and you can look it up online. He wore it in two games, in 2018, and he started in both of them. So it is legit on field for Schebler. I thought that was pretty nice. Cool.
Yep.
How much does the grab bags cost?
80 bucks.
It's not bad.
Yeah, no, I got a Jared Hughes jersey. I made the mistake. Dan made the right call. Then the guy was right in front of me telling me the whole setup. So I got the jersey, the 50 to 52 size jerseys, which are the XL or 2XL players, which I was really shooting for like an Aquino or a Puig or someone like massive that, you know.
Yeah.
But now knowing that Schebler wears, and Dan got the smaller size, the next one that would be a large or extra large, which now knowing that's what Schebler wears, chances are the guys that I was really rooting or hooting or shooting for probably wore that size too. I got Jared Hughes, and it was never worn in a game that he entered, but you can tell he wore it because there's like dirt or pine tar or something like on the like chest or something.
Yeah. I'd so, like Corky Miller.
Mine still has that. Mine has a Schebler BO to it, not going to lie.
Does it?
Yeah. Like, I don't know if it was washed.
That's awesome. Well, that's, I mean, it's pretty cool. Like, they for sure, like, it tells you when it was tagged by the authenticators and stuff, yeah, too. Like, mine shows that it was taken out in October on a locker cleanout day. It was like during, like, I forget how it was worded, but it was like equipment collection, like October 3rd or something mm-hmm. like that. And, but it says like never entered into a game. And then the hat I bought said that it was never issued to a player. Cause I got one of the 150 hats, like the, cause I just wanted the home hat with like just the 150 patch, not to wear really, but to keep with the other like throwback hats I bought, which were $20.
Yeah. All those throwback hats. They had like massive amounts of
like thousands of hats
of the
like,
throwback hats.
Nice.
Yeah. I got one of the 1990 ones for $20.
And they were $10 on Saturday.
Oh, were they? God damn it. I knew I should have gone back.
I know. It's almost worth the, because it's only like $8 to go, I think, for 2 days versus one. But, so yeah, they got that. And, I got a couple pullovers from like the bullpen type pullovers. And neither one of those were ever officially, like, officially, you know, put out to a player, like assigned to a player or anything. Mm. Because I got a couple. I got like the one pullover type sweatshirt looking thing, and I got one that is like the windbreaker material where the sleeves zip off into turn it into like a short sleeve windbreaker type of thing, which they were each $25 a piece, and those are like, you know, $125 on,
yeah, on the team. So the legit like on field stuff.
Yeah. Which they're on field. I've always wondered, and this is just one of those weird quirk things that I always have. I've stood next to some NFL players. Not Jeff. He never got signed by anybody. But I stood next to some NFL players. I stood next to Major League Baseball players. And I used to see, like I'm not an in-shape guy. Like, I'm fat. Like, I've got way too much weight, like, surrounding, like, my frame right now. But even back then, I was like, I could get an XL or I get a 2XL. and I would feel like it was tight on my shoulders and like tight through like the midsection. And I'm always like, why in the hell is this like authentic Bengals hoodie or authentic like Reds hoodie or like pullover not fitting me correctly?
Mm-hmm.
When I see like these guys that I've seen in real life, like not that much smaller than me, wearing a jersey underneath it, it pulled over and it's like perfect, fits perfect. It hangs off their shoulders perfectly. Like those are all made differently. Like I didn't realize that. Like they had t-shirts there that were extra larges, like, or a long sleeve t-shirt that was an extra large that legitimately could have gone as like, you would could have told me it was a 3X when I held it up and I would have believed you.
Really?
It was massive. Like it was, the shoulders were just wide and you could tell it was cut to fit over stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which so I'm like, oh well, and it even said on the tag it was like oversized, like custom fit for athlete, or forget how they worded it, team issue or something like that. So for everybody out there,
that was our M. Taylor promo read.
That's right. Everybody out there that's wondering why they don't look like Joey Votto in their majestic pullover jacket. That's it. That and you don't have a sweet beard.
MTaylor.com, yeah, promo code Millarn Sports.
That's right. But I've always wondered that because I've bought the AFC North Champion shirts from the Bengals shop before. And I bought a 2X, which is a normal t-shirt size for me. Mm-hmm. And it's like tight on the arms, tight on the shoulders, tight through the chest and gut.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's offensive and defensive linemen wearing shirts. I guarantee you they're not wearing 6 and 7 X's.
Right.
That'd still be baggy on them. Well, that's a completely different run. Like, I guess I assume fans aren't also just fat retired football players. By retired, I mean just got really fat after college and high school. But yeah, it's like, it's, I don't know, it just always annoys me. It's body shaming.
It is, man.
The worst is like a 2X that is short.
Oh yeah.
Like where it's, because I now have to get 3XLT, because if I don't get the XLT part, it looks like a belly shirt on me. But also sometimes when I get the XLT shirt, it looks like I'm wearing a tall tee.
Yeah. So there's really, yeah,
it's like hit or miss. I bought a red shirt over the summer just to go to Reds game, 3XLT, and it looks like I'm wearing a 9X when I wear it. Like, it does not fit me at all. And I'm like, what in the hell? Like, it drives me crazy.
Gotta get all your clothes custom made, man.
And I'm not a short guy either. Like, I mean, so it shouldn't.
5'10 is about normal for a man.
God, could you imagine if I was 5'10 how fat I would look?
That would be hilarious.
Because I look fat at 6'6", so.
Sick brag.
Really?
No, I do, though. I look huge at how tall I am.
You look good.
I'm just fighting for that extra eighth of an inch so I can claim 6'3 on my license.
You can put whatever you want on your license, man.
That's true. You do not look 6'7", sir. Yeah. You don't look like you're arresting me today, bub.
You got the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Put your brain in a pretzel.
Yeah. So do you have a fake ID just to be taller?
Yeah. Which one do you want? Do you want my listed height or do you want my doctor height?
Yeah.
This is the one that says I don't need prescription glasses.
Oh, Jesus. But, yep. I don't know. Is there anything else? Patriots cheat, whatever. That's not news.
Yeah. It's not news.
Doesn't surprise me.
It's so funny.
It's so weird that it's the Bengals that they chose to do this with, which makes you wonder who else have they done it with.
Everybody.
Every other team.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, if you look, and so for people that don't understand or know what we're talking about, I'll give you the quick story. Supposedly the Patriots got caught filming the Bengals sidelines from the Browns press box at the game on Sunday. They were, when they were approached, because they got press passes through the Browns, did not alert the league or the Bengals that they were going to be in town for that videoing anything. When they were approached, they said they were filming a documentary that they do have a documentary series on their website. And they said they were doing an advanced scout for this week's episode, which was all good and that's fine, but apparently, they said the taping with the advanced scout stopped before the game started, so the advanced scout could go do his job. And these cameras kept rolling on the sideline. And when they were approached, they said, I'm an employee of Mr. Kraft. Can we just delete everything on the camera and forget this ever happened? If that doesn't scream, holy shit, I'm busted. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what does. If you're truly just getting footage for this.
I'm trying to toss the camera out the window of the
press. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. I just see him chucking it off and bouncing back at him.
The only thing that would be worse is if he got stuck next to a trash can, pounding away on a trash can. That was a Houston Astros reference.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. No, I thought you, when you said pounding away, I thought you were jerking off.
Yeah. Wait,
what? Yeah. No, I agree. So, yeah, so that's where the Patriots have already come out and said, oh, by the way, like, yeah, we know this happened. We're aware that it happened. It was a third-party film crew. We had nothing to do with it. Please move along. And yeah. It's like, bullshit. Like, you've been caught before. Like, and the thing is, when they got caught the first time, that one of the things in the investigation that was unveiled was they were given canned responses to give. And one of them is, I work for Robert Kraft and we're filming a documentary.
Yeah.
That was literally one of the pre-planned responses if someone catches you. So, I mean, there's a smoking. I mean, this could be the most pure, craziest coincidence ever, but it's not. Like,
no,
there's a smoking gun. There's five smoking guns in this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep saying, oh, why would you ever try to cheat against the Bengals? I'm like, well, I'd think the same thing. But it's a standard operating procedure. That's probably what they do with every mm-hmm. single team they play. And they might not do every single game, but they probably don't have this set of, like, this is the first time they're seeing Zach Taylor and the rest of the Bengals, like, coaching staff. So,
right.
You have to do this for the Bengals for 13 years or, you know, like, or however they work that out. So I don't know. It, when they got busted by a shitty Jets team. So the argument that they would never try to cheat against the Bengals is already null and void right there. It's hilarious to me. I love it.
I'm so pissed if the Bengals lose now though.
Oh yeah. I know they had this one right where they had the Patriots right where they wanted them.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, that's how to keep it short. I feel like I kept it as short as I could without going too much into how much I just despise that organization. I just
it wasn't bad. We're running like 35 minutes right now.
Time.
Just picture Robert. We'll clean it up in post. Just picture Robert Kraft coming out of the massage parlor. I work for Robert Kraft.
Too far, Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff.
What sex shame?
I'm an associate of Robert Kraft's.
See, what he needs to do is he needs to give all of them like a little cyanide capsule to keep under their tongue. If they get caught, they just bite down on it and it's done.
Yep. Someone's like been that. Watching Nazi documentaries too.
PFT?
I tweeted that out earlier. That you? My DVR is filled with like Paw Patrol, Peppa Pig, PJ Masks, and Nazi Germany and North Korea stuff.
Your kids got a very diverse.
That's right. I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Paw Patrol and stuff's for me.
Oh,
yeah. It's all me. But
thanks for listening to the pod this week. Go Patriots. I mean, I don't want the Bengals to win.
Yeah.
And keep that number one draft.
I was gonna say I'm for them cheating. Like anything that locks up that first pick.
And also given our history, just in case, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
And happy Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah.
I will be in Vegas in 2 weeks, so I won't be on the pod then.
Ooh, so that's either the way you're gonna want to tune in. That's when it's gonna be electric.
Yeah, definitely.
You'll have the dead weight holding us back. Oh, wait, that was Dan. I thought it was Jeff that said that.
All right. That's poor timing because Kobe Bryant's due to come on the show as our first guest.
Damn it. Yep. I knew it.
Never mind. Have a good week.
Talking about Colorado, folks.
See you next week.